Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9. KISW.
Your guess is as good as mine. A category is going up the highest paid athletes in the world and the top 10 Star Wars movies of all time. We'll do your guesses as good as mine going after emails and our random question, 206-421-RON.
Random.
Hello,
random,
Devin. Random, welcome random, to the men's room.
Hola, bicholas.
Hola. Devin, welcome to the program. Random question. Random, all right, Devin, let's go with this one. What hit your car, or what did you hit with your car?
Well, I used to live in Los Angeles, and one day I was just going along. It was kind of like just outside of downtown, starting to get into West Los Angeles, and I had a little pickup truck. I was cruising these really tight streets. They're just one way or one lane each way, and I saw some cop lights in the rear view, and there's not really anywhere to pull over because there's cars kind of parked on the side, so I just kept going, and all of a sudden I see like 10 different car lights, and I realized right as I look to my right that there's a guy in a car that's like trying to just swerve between cars and obviously outrun the cops. And he just took my whole right mirror off and clipped my mirror. And then as he got around me, he took the first right, and the cops were all over him. I actually went back around the area to drive around just because I was curious. And the guy was pinned down face first on the ground, fully tattooed, no shirt. And there was a pistol like that had fallen out of his car just on the ground there. And he
did
was
you,
like,
did you get your mirror back?
So I just filed an insurance claim and had to just get a new mirror. Yeah. But that was a pretty crazy thing. It all went down like in 30 seconds from seeing the sirens to having my mirror off and then looping around and seeing him pinned on the ground. Yeah. He was obviously a gangbanger.
Did you think the cops were coming after you at first?
Well, no, probably had a little at Rick Simpson's oil or some other stuff on me, but
look, they're not coming after me, but if they pull me over, there will be trouble. That's basically what you're saying.
Yes.
I'd probably squirt it all in my mouth.
Yeah.
Quick. That's the nice thing about that stuff, kind of. Get rid of it.
There was a friend that we knew, and her nickname was Danger, all right?
My God.
One night we're at my apartment. She'd gone out drinking with some of her friends. We were home. She called up. She's close to my apartment, but she'd never been there before.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is that she's going to hopefully, and it seemed like she was okay on the phone.
Sure.
Turns out she was not okay.
Did not know that.
We did not know that. So she calls up. We're trying to steer her ass in. And you hear this like this. She goes, oh, there goes my mirror. And I said, Danger, how'd you lose your mirror? She's like, oh, another car. I was like, pull over now. Somebody's coming to get you, man. We just, and of course, you know, she's just sitting there smiling, pulled over, the mirror's completely gone, busted into a million pieces on the road.
And it was her fault. Make no mistake.
Oh, yeah, she should not have been driving. It's like, so what was that noise? The reason we asked what hit your car or what did you hit with your car, a small plane with three people aboard crashed Saturday on a bridge near Miami, striking an SUV with three occupants, according to the FAA.
What are the odds?
The two people aboard the plane were taken to a trauma center, and the three people with non-life-threatening injuries were taken to a hospital, according to Miami-Dade Fire Rescue. Department said Miami-Dade police would provide information on a sixth patient, and a report says that one person actually did pass in the accident. The single-engine Cessna departed from Hollywood-Fort Lauderdale International Airport, bound for Key West, and soon lost power. The plane burst into flames after crashing. Video on social media showed the plane crumbled on the inlet bridge with a damaged SUV nearby. And a man can be seen scrambling from the plane and being held by others to the side of the roadway just before the aircraft became engulfed in flames.
You said Hollywood Airport to Fort Lauderdale?
They were flying to Key West. So that is a 2 to 3 hour drive from Miami to Key West, Ryan.
Yeah, Fort Lauderdale Airport to Miami. I mean, you're talking about 20, 25 miles.
So I'm saying, right. So if basically you're assessing that, this is, hey, we got the money, let's get there quick. I don't care who you are. You get on a plane.
You're following Highway 1, basically, all the way down.
But you're not particularly scared of flying, but it's still going to go through your head, right? So what happens when you recognize mortality. And a lot of times you go, man, flying over the ocean, it's a 9 hour flight, it's a whatever flight. And granted, anything can go wrong in any amount of time. Mm-hmm. I would have zero fear of getting on a plane if you said, basically, we're flying from here to Bainbridge. I'd be like, yeah, all right, man. You know, 30 minutes in here, what could go wrong? And somehow that much went wrong in that little bit of amount of time.
Random.
Hello, Jess.
Random,
welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
All right, Jess. Welcome to the program. Random question. This is going to be an interesting one. Jess, what would you say is the maximum distance that you call walking distance?
Oh, wow. Well, not to date myself, but I'm going to be turning 30. Well, I might as well just tell you, I'm going to be 37 in a couple weeks. But when I was younger, I would say anywhere between 5 and 8 miles. But I used to be in a lot better shape and skateboard. But nowadays, maybe like a 15-minute walk to the store, that kind of annoys me because then it's going to be 15 minutes to get back home. So it's a half hour if you think about it.
Oh, my God. Look out.
I know.
It's also a half hour if you just add them together.
So basically,
plus the amount of time that you have in the store.
So 3 miles is your 3 miles is basically where you're at.
Yeah, I think that's a fair get or far distance or, you know.
Okay.
It definitely gets shorter.
3 miles.
But it's weird because
walking distance in my mind means you're not exercising. You're going someplace.
Yeah.
It's different. Like, I'll go out on urban hikes and just kind of do a loop around Ballard and Fremont and all that and just walk around. Hell, I'll walk up on Finney Ridge just to see things and get outside and do that. I'll walk into work when the weather gets a little bit nicer. That's just practical. But I think, and if I'm going to a sporting event, like, typically if I go to UW, I can walk the Burt Gilman Trail the entire way to the stadium, not have to pay for parking, not have to worry about how much I drink.
Yeah.
And walk back. That probably takes me half an hour, so it's probably 6 miles round trip, but like,
but to me it's
that's,
a logic,
that's a destination walk, you know.
It is, but it depends what you're doing. You know, if you're in Seattle and you say, hey, we're gonna walk 17 miles, everyone would freak out on you, right? I mean, mm-hmm. just there's no question. I get it. I'd freak out too. I don't want to do that. We took the kids to DC last summer, and when you're in downtown DC, you want to see all the things DC has to offer. DC does a reasonably good job of having them in one general area, but that one general area is fairly expansive because there's a lot of parks, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So the kids, at the end of the day, we told them, hey, man, check your phone. They walked 17 miles. And they were proud of themselves. But if I said we're going to walk a mile, right, from our home to...
Dude, bitch.
It would take 40 minutes to get them out of the house. So even to Mexico City, our top day, we did 13 miles. And again, you're not thinking about it because you're just walking and you're doing stuff and you're seeing stuff. So nobody cares. So it really depends on your sales pitch. If you say we're going to the store or going to work or going to a friend's house and it's more than 3 miles, nobody wants to.
I walked 9 yesterday, but I just consider it golf.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I walk.
People look for the closest parking space and it's like they're going to a mall.
You're at the gym.
Right. You're going to get on the treadmill and act like you went 20 miles, but you need the closest parking space because you can't walk 50 feet to the goddamn front door. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make sense to me, but that's how people perceive things, man.
Same thing with the grocery store.
Exactly.
People circle around, like, dude, you're going to walk in there. It's a Super Fred Meyer. You're going to walk a lot. Don't worry about it. Home Depot. It's a huge-ass store. You're going to walk when you get in there.
You know
you're
going to walk? IKEA. If you're going to IKEA, you might as well walk to IKEA. Because when you get to IKEA, whether you want to or not, you're going to follow those stupid-ass arrows, and you're going to walk, it feels like, 400 goddamn miles before you get out of there.
Also, I feel
I think Thrill is right. It just depends what you're doing, right? Because if you're out with a bunch of buddies and you're going to a sporting event, you'll walk all over town. You'll walk 10 miles in a day.
Yeah, easily.
You know, or even tailgating, right? Like, you go to a Husky game, like, how many times are you just going to do 3 circles around all of Husky Stadium in the parking lots? Like, you would.
You
but on tailgate.
You'll be down by the boats. Next thing you know, at halftime,
smoking down there, doing whatever.
I feel like, yeah. I do like afternoons where you're just kind of drinking a little bit, you're walking around, you're seeing stuff. It's not a bad way to spend the day, you know? I did an urban hike not too long ago where I went up into to 45th on Wallingford. The first thing I did was I stopped at the pot store. Then the next thing I did was I stopped at Dick's and got a cheeseburger. And then I stopped at, like, the Sock Monster or bought some socks. And then the next thing you know, I'm in the Octopus Bar. And then I'm in the Pacific Inn down below. Like, I did 6 or 7 miles, but I stopped along the way and got a, you know, got a drink and a shot on it.
Sure, yeah. What's a favorite thing to do when we go out of town? Bar hop.
Walk around.
Great way to see a town. Great way to see a town.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's nothing better than that. I just, they asked people, the reason we asked, what's the maximum distance you call walking distance? A new poll asked people what the maximum distance they still consider walking distance. 27% said within 30 minutes. We'll say 30 minutes is about 3 miles, depending on how fast you walk. It's a little less.
It's about a mile and a half. The average person walks 3 miles an hour. So if they want to go 30 minutes, it's about a mile and a half.
Yeah, I think rule of thumb is about a 20-minute mile when you're walking.
Correct. Okay. That was the most popular response. 27% said within 20 minutes. Most people said that 15 minutes. That was it. But 5% are only willing to walk 5 minutes. So people, of course, it was just the willingness. It's also ability. So not surprisingly, people over 65 years old are more likely to say shorter distances than their max. But
a couple will be here.
I think it also.
Go ahead.
I think it also depends on if you live in a city or not. Like, I have friends that are health freaks, and they're in the gym every day. But if I ask them to walk half a mile, they're like, no way, man. We'll just drive or Uber.
And also what kind of motivation that you have to go to whatever place it is that you're going to. You know, I've got a law office that's a quarter mile away from my place. I don't really want to walk there. I'll just drive my car over there. Whereas I got a bar that's a mile and a half away. Sure, I'll walk there.
You can do it.
Well, the problem is it's not the people who live in Seattle and the people that you know and your friends and everything else. It's a damn East Coasters when they come into town. You need to drive to the seat at the Seahawks game for my dad to sit down in that seat. If you have to walk any distance,
yeah, they start pissing and moaning.
My mom's
complaining.
It's like, oh my god, people! Like,
dude, we're gonna walk 300 yards. We will be at the market, right? And we're going to go to the stadiums. And they're like,
well, how far is it?
I'm like, well, if you walk to the water, you can see it right there. Like. It looks far. It's like, well, it's not.
No.
It's not far. And it's not like there's some desolate, weird. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to walk from here, and then we get to Pioneer Square, where there's a bunch of bars and restaurants. And then you're at the stadiums, and they can't wrap their head around it.
I had a relative that came into town to see me, and he would not walk. He's my age. He would not walk basically between a quarter and a half mile to my house to get home from the bar.
Is that the man who pooped on the neighbor's house?
He did. Uh-huh. Yes, he actually did. He pooped on my neighbor's house.
Before I got in shape, I used to drive 4 blocks to park my car at the park and ride to get on the bus to come to work. 4 blocks.
Mm-hmm. You drove 4 blocks?
4 blocks.
Like, come on.
I would drive from my place to the park and ride, which was 4 blocks, and park my car.
Yeah. And it's just not worth it.
It just depends. Is it raining? Is it crappy? Is it Monday morning? What's going on?
But in hindsight, it seems so absurd. Like, I drove that?
Right. That is absurd. You probably spend as much time in traffic going to 4 blocks as the one to walk there, right? A guy here makes a good point, though. They go, look, as far as walking distances, they go, Home Depot's different. Because I'm going to buy a bunch of heavy S, and I don't want to push it across the entire goddamn lot. You know what? You're 1,000% correct on that.
Yeah.
Same with grocery stores. Like, if you're going to buy a bunch of liquids and, like, sodas or juices or whatever.
Yeah, you know what you get. Like, ah, man.
You need a car.
That's why I always get upset. At Home Depot, if we need to get the, I don't know, like the big long-ass platform with the four shaky wheels on the bottom, this is a heavy day. We are here for crap. This means multiple bags of mulch. I mean, multiple bags of things that weigh 10,000 freaking pounds. At least if it's just a grocery cart, I'm like, money. I can cover all of this. Mm-hmm. Someone else says, I regularly walk to the grocery store. It's a 3-hour round trip. Once walked from New Village in Seattle to the hills outside of Redmond. Wow. Took 12 hours. But they add, that was way too much.
Ooh. Yeah, I did. One night I walked all the way from like 175th, 195th on Aurora. And I was wearing flip-flops. I was drunk. I figured I could make it home. Halfway down the Aurora, not only did I have to deal with some interesting characters, but my flip-flop blew out, so it was kind of flapping on me.
Right.
It was just like when I got home, my feet are all rubbed raw, and I'm like, that was a horrible idea.
Dude, I had one
that
recently.
That was a horrible idea.
I went to a show at Climate Pledge, and my phone died, and I couldn't get an Uber, and you cannot get a taxi.
Oh, you walked to my house.
So I walked from Climate Pledge to Miles' place in Fremont.
Thinking an Uber.
I made a blister on my toe by the time I got there. I was like, dude, it was like 11:30 midnight or something. Like, knock on his door, will you get me an Uber? Like, I don't want to walk the rest of the way home.
I think the best thing I did downtown, walked up to my place, a little bit north of Northgate, and now I had been drinking. Starts raining out. There's nothing you can do. Whatever, you're going to get wet. I did not realize how many times I fell down drunk in the mud. My entire right side of my body's caked in mud. And then, and I'm not making this up, I am 2 blocks away from my house, all right? I have made it that far. I am 2 blocks away, and I am holding a stop sign. It's probably about 11:30 at night. And I got to call my wife. I'm like, babe, I can't make it home. She's like, where are you? And I tell her, she's like, it's right around the effing corner. I said, I understand this. What I'm telling you is,
I can't make it home.
I can't make it home.
She, where did you live? You left from, I left from downtown. Finney. You left from Greenwood that night, right?
Yeah, it was Finney.
I walked the other way. That wasn't nearly as bad.
Because she was like, how did you make it that far? I'm like, I don't know. I literally, I remember she pulls around in the car. She had that look of death on her face. Kind of helps me into the car. We get home in 80 seconds, man, go to bed. And she was like, you are pathetic.
What was
I know this.
What was the name? And I was trying to remember the name of this place. For whatever reason, I don't know. What was the name of the old cigar bar that used to be down
Big, Teeny Bigs.
Teeny Bigs.
Did a night at Teeny Bigs with like Ronnie and Hair Club and a couple other people. And I decided, and they were kind of new, obviously, to town. And this is when you could smoke in there and everything else.
So this is on First and Denny.
Yes. Yeah, Denny. Correct. Down by Sean Kim's place now. So I determined I'm going to walk home because, you know what, why not? Let's go see the town a little bit. This is easy. Just right over top of this Queen Anne Hill. No big deal. So I get up to the top of Queen Anne Hill, which is a bitch to walk up.
You walked up Queen Anne?
Oh, yeah. I get up there. But there's this.
You didn't walk around it. You decided to go.
I didn't.
Dexter, bro. That's the way to go.
I went straight up this damn thing. So I'm following those three radio towers.
I've done it 2 miles. I know that water fountain at the top of Queen Anne.
Yeah, so the three. I'm following the three radio towers. I got this. I get to the top of the hill.
Like it's the North Star.
And I look down, and I see the Fremont Bridge. And keep in mind, it's 12:31 a.m. at this point.
Right.
And I'm just kind of cruising through the neighborhood, doing these switchbacks, trying to figure out how to get to this bridge. There's a Fremont Bridge. Just get my ass down there. I walk across the bridge. The bridge is longer than it normally is. I'm like, man.
Yes, on that day.
I'm slow.
Slightly longer than normal.
It was. It's like, what is going on? And I realize when I cross the bridge, I'm like, I am in Ballard.
Oh!
That's the wrong bridge, man. Damn it! Now I'm still like a mile and a half away.
And there's no Uber back then.
I gotta walk by the Fred Meyer, yeah.
Now I gotta go to Mike's and get a beer.
No, they're closed. It was way, way late, man.
Random.
Probably went into Hattie's Hat.
Random.
Hello, Tanner. Welcome to the men's room. Random.
Hola, guys.
Hola.
Tanner, welcome to the program. Random question.
About walking really quick. Ted, you'll understand this because he knows the area. You know every area, it seems like. But I once walked from Bainbridge Island to Indianola.
How far is that?
I don't even want to know.
All right, fair enough.
Is it on the same island?
Well, it's on the Kitsap Peninsula. So I went from Bainbridge Island, walked on Kitsap Peninsula, and then all the way to Indianola. It was a trek.
Yeah, there's that bridge over Agate Pass.
Oh, okay. All right, let's go with this.
Yeah,
Tanner.
That's a good walk.
When did you realize that you maybe had said too much? You talked a little too much.
Oh, geez.
Other than when you call here.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Maybe that's probably the key. Definitely my DUI.
Okay.
What was the situation?
Oh, well, I fell asleep, but as the judge says, I passed out behind the wheel. And I rolled for about, I was going probably 70 miles per hour on a 2-lane road, and rolled for probably 7 times, completely wiped out a deer somehow in the process.
You hit a deer.
But, I was passed out, as the judge says, and I woke up and my car was on its side. It was smoking. I got out and there was just a dead deer there. And I remember petting it and being like, what the hell? Is this real? And being like, oh, I'm not going to get out of this one, Tanner. And then, said the most is I told the police officers, I was like, yeah, I have a drinking problem. And yeah, that does not go well over in court.
Well, it does and it doesn't. It goes over well because they don't have to do a lot of hard work. You know, it's one of those days where they came in maybe thinking they'd have to do stuff, and then you open your big stupid mouth, and they're like, oh, this is easy.
Yep.
That said, they'll still say some negative things in your direction, but really, you made everyone's life real, real, real easy.
real easy. Actually, I was in traffic court once, and this is true. This is sad. There's this chicken there. And so, you know, traffic court, it's all just this petty crap. But they nailed you. They're going to take you to court. And this girl goes up, and the judge says, hey, just so you know, it says here that you were speeding. And I don't remember what her speed was versus the speed limit, but the judge pointed out the officer that ticketed you is not here. And this is the judge saying this. So if you just tell me you weren't speeding, this goes away. Say, no, I was definitely speeding, definitely. And so all of us that are waiting for our turn to go up, we're all looking at each other like, maybe she didn't hear me. So the judge, again, trying to give her the olive branch, goes, yes, ma'am, listen, the officer that cited you is not here today. So if you tell me that you weren't speeding, and he's slowing it down so she can absorb it, then you don't get any points on your license. You will not owe us any money. I just need to hear from you whether or not you were speeding. I really was. We were like, oh, my God. He tried it a third time. She still was just like, no, I was speeding. He was like, Jesus Christ, fine. $390, 2 points on your license.
Yeah.
Like, he was pissed after that, made it worse for the rest of us.
Yes. Reason we asked, when did you realize that you may have said too much? A man who reported his truck stolen on Monday was arrested after authorities learned he had stole the truck 5 days earlier in Delaware County. Police said 36-year-old Brett Redd of Columbus reported his truck was stolen by his passenger at a gas station on Cemetery Road. Police were able to catch up on the truck on Main Street. Suspect identified as David Harrison ran from the vehicle but was arrested in a nearby residential neighborhood. Hillard police later learned that the truck was originally stolen by Redd on May 4th. According to an incident report from the Delaware County Sheriff's Office, the vehicle was taken from a landscaping company in Powell. So now both men have been charged with receiving stolen property.
So dude stole the truck, and then someone stole the truck that
and
he
called
stole,
up and, said,
and he called the cops.
The truck that I stole.
Bro, lick your wounds, take your losses, move on, man.
More of the random question coming up. 206-421-ROCK.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Random question, 206-421-ROCK.
Random.
Hello, Dave. Welcome to The Men's Room.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hola.
Dave, welcome to the program. Random question. All right, Dave, let's go with this one. What would you say is either your best or your worst memory from your high school days?
Wow. That's taking me back a few.
Yeah, but you remember things when you're younger a little bit better. Typically, they stick with you.
Yeah, for me, I'd say probably my proudest moment was when I started high school. I mean, I'm 6 foot tall and 180 pounds right now. But when I started high school, I was 4 foot 11 and 92 pounds.
4 foot 11?
Yes.
All right.
So you hit your growth spurt then, I guess.
Yeah, later on. But I still earned my letterman's jacket my freshman year.
Now, do they still do that?
In what? In what?
Tennis.
Ah, okay.
All right. Do they still do that in high school sports, Ted? Do we know? I know your brother's a high school principal.
They got to still do it, right? Because you get the jacket, then you get, like, the letter, and then if you play a couple years, you get, like, a pin.
Right.
I think I still have one of those. Well, that's very cool. Did you letter all 3 or 4 years you were in high school?
Yeah, I mean, I played tennis through my senior year, and we had a really good team. In fact, I could never get to number one. The guy who was number one was a gentleman by the name of Matthew Rigetti, and his dad was a doctor, and he had his own tennis court in his backyard.
Typically, that's how it works. Same thing with the high school that I went to, and the guy in town that I... who was the best tennis player? He went to Harvard to play tennis.
Of course, he did.
Yes, he went to Harvard.
Did he go to Harvard specifically on a tennis scholarship?
He did, yep.
I mean, that's like one of the whitest things I've ever heard.
Huh? I mean, just. It's not just that you went to Harvard.
The women loved him.
But you went to Harvard on a tennis scholarship. My God.
He did, yeah.
I mean, congratulations to him. I shouldn't sound that bitter, but kiss my ass.
Okay.
All at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Well, the reason we ask what is your best or worst memory from high school, this is actually pretty cool. 18-year-old Pennsylvania high school student named Gary Martin has recorded a 3.57.98 mile. Gary Martin, he recorded that mile in 1950s. He would have been the fastest man in the world. The result of the Catholic League Championship Saturday was 15 seconds short of the current world record, but was still enough to topple numerous other records. As the high school student has been doing all year, he ran the fastest time in state history and the fifth fastest ever for a high school runner. The time was also the fastest time in a high school only race, breaking a record set by Jim Ruin in 1965. So Gary Martin ran basically under a 4 minute mile. And I don't know if you remember Roger Bannister. Or
right. That was a big, big deal.
Yeah.
It can't be done. Mm-hmm.
He is the first high school athlete to run a sub 4 minute mile, went on to set world records in the mile and half mile, and took home the silver in the 1500 meters. Martin, who will run at the University of Virginia this fall, told the Philadelphia Inquirer that he isn't looking too far ahead. I mean, that was a big one. 4 minutes, that's a big barrier for a high school miler, he said. Now it's just about getting faster, running as fast as I can. So I wouldn't say there's a specific time. I'm just going to try and enjoy the rest of my senior high school year and not train nearly as hard since I did that in the... that was the end.
Now, like I was I did that. I'm going to loosen up a little bit.
The 4 minute mile barrier has been broken by a total of 14 high school runners, and it is falling more frequently these days. But he basically hit the best number in a 34-year gap. As far as a sub-4 minute mile, that's not too bad for high school seniors.
That's crazy.
I admit that I don't pay much attention to track and field, but in the last week I've seen two videos. One I want to say is an elementary or junior high, and the most recent one was a high school. So in the first one, so this little girl, you know, they
10 years old.
She was 10. They fired the fire.
10 or 7.
You know, 8 runners, whatever it is, and on her second step, she comes completely out of her tennis shoe. So most of the time, your coach will tell you, keep running, keep running. Well, she stops, as little kids do, puts her shoe back on, ties it back up. Yeah, she won the race.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one today was, it was hurdles, and I believe this was high school or college. And the hurdles start, and this chick, she clips the first hurdle, completely goes down, everyone keeps running. She gets back up, regains herself. She beat everyone. Mm-hmm.
She is boxer Terrence Crawford's daughter.
Yeah. That's
what I was going to say, right. I think her dad's a big athlete.
Yeah, but I mean, Steve's right. She ran.
She literally stopped to put her, because that's what kids do. And you're like, oh, that's kind of cute. And then she toasted their ass after that.
Mm-hmm. That was impressive.
Yeah, and the chick today went down on the hurdle. Everyone else kept running. She gets up. And typically, when you go down on hurdles, man, you're not gaining ground again. She beat everyone again. I mean, mm-hmm. This girl flew. I'm like, oh, my God, man.
Cassel, what was your best half marathon?
Best half marathon was 1:49. That's the one I did with you when you had to stomp and use the gentleman's run.
I still got under 2 hours on one half marathon.
Dude, I was sitting at the finish line for so long. I thought maybe I had missed him. And he comes, Miles comes across the finish line, and he looks at me and he goes, "I have stories."
I do. it was absolutely insane.
Yeah. That one was 1:49, like 50 or something like that.
Mm-hmm. That's not the one where you, like, you had to poop. Well, but, like, every spot of pot or something was taken or whatever.
There just weren't a lot of them. It was up on Snoqualmie Pass. There just weren't a lot of opportunities.
Believe it or not, there's a train tunnel up there.
Yeah.
And the tunnel, you start at the other side of the tunnel and you run through the tunnel. At the end of the tunnel, which was probably 2 miles or a mile, it was early. It wasn't that far in. There was a bathroom. But you got to remember, like, this is a state park bathroom.
Right.
So I thought maybe there'd be like porta potties along the way or whatever.
And typically in these races, every mile or so, there's going to be bathrooms or something.
And
but this one.
No. And there was about 20 people waiting in line. So the people who went through that tunnel were like, I've got to pee bad. So they were waiting. And I'm like, you know what? I can hold it. I get to mile 3 and I'm like, Is there a bathroom? The lady's like, I think there's one at mile five. I get to mile five. There's a guy there, water station. I think I'm like, man, there's no bathroom here. He's like, no, it's like six. It might be that. It's like that next one. I think it's at seven, right? I'm like, all right, man, you sure? He's like, yeah, because at this point, well,
he's been holding it for an hour now while running, which is really hard to do.
I'm over the hour point. I am pinching, man. I mean, it's hard. I've already got the chafed butt because I'm just pinching.
It hurts
so tight. And then I get to seven, and I look around, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Where's the bathroom? And the woman says, oh, we don't have a bathroom here. And I said, where's the bathroom? She's like, I think it's at 9 or 10.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, oh, God. Oh, God. So when I get in there, I mean, it is game on. I sit down, and it is just thunderous. It is, and keep in mind, I'm pooping down a tube into a lime, you know, ground area.
Right.
This place reeks. It's awful. There's flies everywhere. I'm like, oh, God. Oh, man. Let loose. There can't be anything left in me.
Oh, and you're breathing all heavy because you've been running. So you're just like heavy mouth breathing.
All stench, sweaty.
And now when you stop, the sweat, like, it gets more. So it's harder to pull up your pants. Your body's all sticking together. My nipples are rubbed raw and they're bleeding. I just drop this heinous crap. I get honestly a half mile down the trail. I realize I got to go again. And I'm still at least 2.5 out. I'm like, oh, my God. This is the worst day of my life. Then we get to the bottom of the finish line, and the dude who was supposed to drive the bus to take us back to the parking lot, he got drunk the night before and didn't get up that morning.
We walk down to where the pickup was supposed to be, and there's, like, no bus, and there's, like, 30 people down there waiting, and no bus ever showed up.
Mm-hmm.
Or eventually it did, but we waited for a long time.
Oh, we're freezing. That's not
random.
You're done. Like, you need a jacket
random,
or something.
Random,
and I had already been waiting for Miles for a half hour at that point.
It seems like it.
Miles, I got to tell you, I had to poop once during a sparring session.
Oh.
And same thing.
You get like, gut shot up, right?
Well, you get out of the ring, right? But then, like, before you go to the bathroom, I got to get my coach. I'm like, you got to take these hand wraps off.
Oh, yeah.
Get the gloves off me.
Or help me with my pants. I can't with the gloves on.
Yeah, but same thing. You're just, everybody's out there. You're in a gym bathroom just dripping sweat. Like, it was awful. It's terrible.
If you can't wipe your ass with gloves on. Hello, Steven. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
Hola.
Steven, welcome to the program. Random question. Let's go with this one. Steven, what did you get locked out of? What did you get locked out of?
Oh, gosh. That's an easy one. I get locked out of my own office like 400 times a day because I constantly forget the key. Even when I loop it around my lanyard, I will magically somehow unhook it from my lanyard and walk out of my office, and I'm locked out again.
Does it? You have what, a door that just automatically shuts?
No, it's in a medical area, so I have to make sure that I have to keep it locked, and every moment it's locked, and I just have to pop out all the time. If there's an issue, they need me at the front of the clinic or something, and I'll pop right out, and sure enough, I will forget that gosh dang key every time.
Who do you have to bother every single time? Who's getting annoyed with you that you continually lock yourself out?
So I got to switch it up. You can't go to the same person always because then they just get annoyed and you can see that they're annoyed. So you got like a few, I would say about five or six people that I bother throughout the day in stages so that they don't think that I'm always going to them.
Yeah, or at least you think it out, man. They changed our security system in this building. So it used to be you just had a secure building. You just had, like, your badge, ID badge, whatever. You wave it in front of this magic pad. Bam, you go to the floor you're going to. Well, about a month and a half ago, they switched it from that. Then now you have to have an app, which serves absolutely no purpose more than the fact that the management here signed a contract with these app people, right? It's no more secure, nothing like that. But the problem is, either you had to make sure your app was up and running, or you had to remember your phone. And typically, when we would go down to the smoke, I don't bring my phone. You just didn't think about it. I've gotten fairly habitual now, but I realized for about the first week, every time I walked in, security figured out what the problem was because they hear me drop a very loud F-bomb, because that's just how I roll. And they would already be getting up from the desk with a smile going, did you forget your phone? I'm like, yeah, what gave it away? I'm like, because you screamed the F-bomb. We know what it is. We know that you've forgotten your phone. It's gotten to the point that this guy Chaz that we work with, well, his office, he's right next to the door that enters our floor. And as we're walking down the hall, he would just yell,
you guys have your phone? And it's about 50-50. Like, Chaz, thanks for the good hookup, yep. man. And Miles, now, you locked yourself. Weren't you, I did not work with you at the time, but what, you, like, smoked weed on the roof of whatever building you're working at, but, like, the door locked behind you?
I had, like, something in the door just to keep the door open. That slid out. So now I'm screwed. Basically, the only way that I got down, this is like 2:30 in the morning. One of the guys who did the remote DJ shows had driven like an hour and a half away to do this high school dance. So it just took him a long time to pack up and get his ass back to the radio station.
Sure.
He was also the morning guy, but this is like a Saturday morning. So he wasn't supposed to come into work. He was just dropping the equipment back off. So he pulled into the parking lot and I'm like, oh, God, Kevin, thank God you're here. He's like, hey, man, what are you doing on the roof? And I'm like, and then you got to remember, too. He's like, I was wondering why there was nothing on the radio station.
Oh, my God. For how long?
I mean, who knows? I mean,
I did that once. Half hour.
Probably at least a half an hour because you're playing CDs.
Right, right.
Those CDs, you have like, you know, 9 million songs on them, whatever the hits are this week. You know, you kind of dial into that. That was my job. So all the carts, all the commercials, none of that stuff was playing. The worst one, though, for me, just as far as my I have an absolute fear of heights. And I just moved to Pasadena, Maryland, which is not the greatest area in the world. And I'm on the third floor of an apartment building.
All right.
The apartment building, it's kind of 50s, 60s. But one thing, the windows and the doors in this place had never been replaced. So the sliders are old. Everything's kind of old. I walk out to smoke a cigarette. And I just reached back and kind of like, I just gave it a little too much on the door.
Okay.
So when I threw the slider back, I heard it go click, click. And I was like, the thing dropped because I slammed the door so hard on the slider that it locked on the inside. And I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. So now I'm just sitting out there and I'm standing and I'm just looking. And I know for a fact that, A, number one, this is before the age of cell phone. Phone's inside. Wife's not getting home until way later because she went out with her friends for dinner and they were going to go party and do all their stuff.
Right.
We were young. We're 25, 26 years old. So she's not coming home before 1 o'clock in the morning. So now I have to make the determination. How do I get the hell off of this porch? So I did I hung down to the second floor and got my feet on the railing, right? I'm hanging by the balcony and I get my hands and my legs secure. I turn around, and at that point in time where I turn around, I realize I'm starting to kind of fall and lean.
Yeah.
But I'm also on the second floor. So I'm about, say, 13, 14 feet high. But my feet are on the railing, so it seems so much higher. So I'm just like, F it. So I dove into the grass, man, and I landed on my feet. My feet hurt like hell, but I was like, I'm alive.
Right.
I'm alive. And then I go to my front door, and guess what?
It's locked.
It's locked. So now I got to hang out with Bernie downstairs who just smoked crack all the time. Who stole my cat.
I'm like, oh, the dude stole.
Yes, exactly. So basically, I hung out with him for the rest of the night because I couldn't get into my damn home.
And that's how Miles started smoking crack.
Yeah, yes. Pretty much. I mean, that's all I do.
I was going to say, it's a good way to pass 10 minutes.
You know what? Bernie looked like the guy. Bernie looked like Lloyd Bridges on Airplane when he said, I picked the wrong time to stop.
Right.
Blue. Like, his hair was always just shot up. He always just looked really surprised. And smelled the chemicals. Like, you walk into his house, you're like, oh, God, Bernie. He's like, yeah, man. He's like, I got to tell you, man, I've been up for like 2 days. I'm like, yeah, I can tell, man.
Right.
I can smell you from here. You smell like a mixture of B.O. and bleach.
Yeah, you look like a crackhead.
Yeah, I was going to say, you just described a crackhead.
Pretty much. Like, all right, give me a hit of this. I got nothing else to do. He didn't smoke weed either. Oh, the reason we asked, what did you get locked out of?
Why would he? That would ruin Arch's eye, man.
Well, you know, what can I tell you? They say that pilots maybe cannot lock themselves out of a cockpit on an airplane. Turns out that's not true. That required, I guess, basically what you need to do is the same as you do if you forget a key at home. You enter through a window. For a pair of Delta pilots, this involved crawling into the 737 flight deck. A hilarious video has emerged of a Delta pilot using a luggage conveyor belt to enter the window of a Boeing 737 aircraft. As the pilot struggles to enter head first, his co-pilot basically gives him a helping hand, just shoving his ass through the window and then guiding his legs to get him fully inside. Could you imagine getting ready to get on an airplane and this is how you see your pilot and your co-pilot enter?
Yeah, because you're sitting at the gate, you're looking at your plane, you realize they can't get in, and they took the conveyor belt for your luggage basically the conveyor his ass up there. And then you're watching these two buffoons slide to the side of the window.
They say the article, why was this even necessary? If you've never taken a closer look at the onboard entrance to the flight deck, and who has, you've noticed there's a keypad in which pilots can input a code to enter the flight deck. Couldn't the pilots, they say, just have entered the cockpit that way? Well, according to a guy who writes for Live and Let's Fly, said that if power of the plane was shut off, the keypad would also likely not be functional. That guy, though, flies an Airbus rather than a Boeing, but explained, at least on the Airbus, if the plane was fully shut down and external power was turned off in the cockpit door might be closed, but you would not be locked out. There are some systems that can be powered on from a switch outside the cockpit, but I'm not sure the door is one of those. He added that he was not aware of any other way to enter the cockpit other than through the window. So it's a good thing that it was a Boeing, because you can't do that on an Airbus. Thus, it seems to me the pilots were indeed locked out, but found that entering via the window was easier than hooking the plane up to power, and probably a lot quicker, too, to get them out of there.
I'm sure it's quicker. It is weird you can open the cockpit window.
Your guess is as good as mine. Coming up, our categories today, the highest paid athletes in the world and Star Wars. You are listening to The Men's Room.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.